Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Here's the Good News when we come back. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, it was negotiated by Moses, not at Mount Sinai. It's called the Old Covenant. You and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits. Benefits such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, you know, George Bush said when he was running for president that what Americans want is jobs, jobs, jobs. But you know, that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, wrote our Bill of Rights, and wrote the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognized that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It's not measured in employment. It's not measured in jobs, jobs, jobs. That's because there's no money in employment. There's no wealth in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. There's no money in public business, and there's no money in jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's why I contend that it's time that you cashed in on your inheritance and learn how to collect the benefits of that old covenant contract and collect your benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's called property instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and more worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn how to do just that, why don't you call for more information on our CD Homeschool for Adults or Business School? While you're at it, we have a free general law CD package. That's the place to start, that free CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email, send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. And we're talking about the good news. Now, I've pointed out to you here in the series of programs here is that we have become cash cows to our political, religious, and our business entities. Microsoft has put us to work for Bill Gates, making him rich. And the income tax has put us all to work, making the bureaucracy rich. These business, these religious entities, these church guys over here, you know, the religious guys, the sky pilots, see, they're not teaching you the Ten Commandments, they're teaching you the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto in your church. When was the last time your preacher ever stood up in front of you and said, let me explain to you the reason behind thou shalt not steal, as opposed to let's abolish all rights to private property? The answer is never, not in your lifetime. And hell will freeze over before you ever hear the Ten Commandments in your church. Church isn't for teaching the laws of God or the Ten Commandments. Church is for teaching the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. I'll wake up and smell the coffee here. Now, I'm not opposed to religion. Hell, I'm not opposed to Bill Gates. And don't think that I'm trying to free all the slaves. Put it out of your mind. I'm not here to free the slaves. Boys and girls, if we freed all the slaves, who in the hell's going to do the work? We need workers. It's just that I don't want to be one of them. So if you're getting tired of putting your head in the stanchion so that the bureaucrats, the church leaders, and the business community milks you, takes all your milk away from you, well, then listen up, because there's a solution to that problem. That's what I call the good news. Now, in the last program, I said one of the causes of your problem is interest and usury. Now, your God told you. You know, here comes the Ten Commandments now, see? Under the Ten Commandments model, we're told don't practice usury and interest. Don't charge it of other people and don't pay it. Now, if you're paying usury and interest, that's one of the reasons, not the only, but one of those reasons why you're poor, unable to make your payments, why your house is being foreclosed on. Nobody's foreclosing on my house, and I've got a house, and you can have a house. Listen, there are certain basics in life, and do you know that food, clothing, and shelter are the three basics of life, and that mankind for the last 5,000 years has produced his own food, his own clothing, and his own shelter? Huh? Did you know that? All right. Now, if your great-granddaddy could produce food, clothing, and shelter for himself in 1890, and your dad and granddad and so on, they could produce food, clothing, and shelter for themselves, why is it that you can't today? What's different today in 2008 that wasn't present in 1890 or 1920 or 1950? Something's changed here. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I want to say, hey, wait a minute. Hang on a second. You know, before we were paying income tax and Social Security taxes, we weren't having a problem paying our bills. Before we brought up this paper money crap, you know, we had gold and silver coin, and we produced great wealth in this country. And the average Joe Sixpack down at the bottom was prospering and doing quite nicely with gold and silver coin. And somebody came along and said, hey, wait a minute, what we need is a central bank like all the nations around us. Now, one of the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto is the fifth plank, which calls for a central bank. Well, all right, now all the nations of the world have central banks, and all the nations of the world are in debt, and all the nations of the world are filled with people that can't pay their bills and are just living on the ragged edge of starvation. Now, that's not the design mechanism, but then nobody's practicing the 10 planks, or I mean the 10 commandments. They're all practicing the 10 planks instead. So my premise is, and here's what we do here at the law school. We take a look at the problem. We say, listen, we got this problem over here where our house is being foreclosed on. Why? Well, because we can't make the payments. Why? Why can't you make the payments? Well, because I don't have enough money. Why? Why don't you have enough money? Well, my boss ain't paying me enough. Well, what the hell, were you getting paid more in 1955? My dad didn't have any problems making his house payments. He's making less money than you're making today. And there's where your problem is. Now watch this. My dad was working for about $3 an hour in 1955. And today you're getting paid $17.58 an hour. Now I want to take you back here in time and show you. I mentioned this last time too, and I'm going to mention it to you again. You know, you people cannot think in literal terms. You're thinking in abstract terms. You're thinking in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. All right, now listen up. Let me show you how this works. In 1945, my granddad was making $1.75 an hour. We were not being foreclosed on. We had plenty of money. Everything was going along great. In fact, I don't know of anybody that was having any great financial problems in 1945. These are war years. There's shortages. Sugar's rationed. Meat's rationed. Got rationing over here, but we're all eating. In fact, we're not even short of meat. We got chickens in our backyard. My granddad'd come home after work, and my granny would have a chicken tied up in the backyard. He'd just walk right straight through, and they're walking the house, just walk right straight through the gate to the backyard, took the chicken, cut his head off. My grandma would come out of the house with a pan of water, hot water, and then she'd scald the chicken, you know, and then he'd pick it. She'd take it in the house and gut it. Now, the mill closed at 5 o'clock. That's when the whistle blew. 5 minutes later, my granddad would walk through the gate. At 5:30, my granny would take that chicken in the house, and at 6 o'clock, we would sit down to eat dinner with Gabriel Hayter in the news. Now, most of you people out there couldn't do that. My granny and granddad could. We had meat all the time. We didn't have a shortage of meat. And we grew our own. We raised chickens. Now, my granddad's making $1.75 an hour. See? And I told you in the last program, I said, oh, we were living better in 1945 than you people working today for $17.58. Here's why. When I wanted a double-decker chocolate ice cream cone, my granddad would give me a dime, one thin silver dime. And I go down, and I put it on the counter, and I get a double-decker ice cream cone. All right, for 10 cents. The other day I was in a TCBY. Know that ice cream store? TCBY. I said, hey, give me two scoops of ice cream in a cup. She did. $2.35. $2.35. Boys and girls, that's nine times more. Let me show you what's happening here. Out of $1.75, it took 10 cents. See, 10 cents to buy a double-decker ice cream cone. Today you're making $17.58. So you're making 10 times more money. 10 times more money. Aren't you? And you look at that and you say, boy, are we better off today or what? As Ronald Reagan used to say, are you better off today than you were under Jimmy Carter? No, we're not, Ron. We're worse off, but we've got more credit, and what we're doing is we're borrowing more and we're going into debt, and we're paying usury on the debt. And so for openers, it sounds like the solution, but I showed you in the last program, I said, that's just going to eat your lunch. That's going to eat you alive. So here's the difference. It takes $2.35. Now, if you divide that $2.50 into the $17.50, it's about nine times. Take that 10 into the $17.50, and it's 17.5. My granddad, when he worked 1 hour, could buy 17 and one half ice cream cones for 1 hour's labor. Today, you can buy about eight ice cream cones, 7.7. You can buy half as many ice cream cones, and you're making eight times more money, but you buy half as many ice cream cones. Can you follow that? Let me run this and buy you again, because this is why you people are poor and going and getting poor. That's why I'm telling you. You can sit here on this treadmill for the next 150 years, and you're going to owe more money, live poorer over the next 150 years. If you keep practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, you can stand in line and share the charge. Now listen to this again. 1945, my granddad's making $1.75 an hour. You go down to the ice cream store, he gives me a dime, and I can buy an ice cream cone. Today it costs $2.35. 23 times more money to buy an ice cream cone today. So you'd have to be making 23 times $1.75. You'd have to be making around $40 an hour to have the same purchasing power that you had in 1945. And you're not making $40 an hour, partner. In fact, your jobs are being outsourced to India, for crying out loud. Outsourced. So the business over here is not going to pay you, you know, 10 times more. They're going to pay probably half as much or less than half as much and have somebody in India do it. So you're going to end up unemployed. Now that's the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto business model. Now we got a better business model than that from our God that told us don't practice usury and interest. Okay. And we said, oh no, we're going to practice usury and interest. Now, if you notice that there's a housing crisis going on, that there's foreclosures going on, now, Katie Couric is reporting that to you every night on the news. You may not understand the ins and outs of ABS loans and all this alphabet soup of all this crap that's going on over here, and who can? But then let's see if we can get this down to the least common denominator. Do all of you people understand that when you buy a house on time, you got a mortgage, that you're paying interest? Do you all understand that? All right, and that's point one. Point two, can you all understand that under the Ten Commandments model, interest and usury is prohibited, period, don't do that? Can you grasp that concept? All right. Do you understand that you're a criminal, that you're breaking a law? Is it surprising to you that there's a penalty for the violation of that law? Does that come as a shock to you? Do you people out there, honest to God, believe that there's a law that says you shall not be a usurer to your brother, or you shall not practice usury, and you can go out there and practice usury and interest, and there's no penalty? Have you been listening to Mr. Rogers for so long now that you're so disconnected from reality that you can't connect crime with punishment? Because that's where Americans seem to be, unable to connect these dots, that these foreclosures that you're going through, that the economic collapse that you are witnessing every day in and day out, slowly but surely, is this great depression, this hyperinflation builds upon us over here. Americans are just totally unable to connect the dots. Hell, I don't think you Australians over there can connect the dots either. And you got a publication over there, a member of the Privateer. Subscribe to that Privateer. Just go to The Privateer. It's a the hyphen. Put a hyphen between the and Privateer. The-privateer.com. Go to that website. I mean, that guy's going to tell you where the bodies are buried. And I'm telling you right now, if you've got a mortgage on your house, you're going to lose your house. You got that? All right. So now, with that behind us, you're not going to lose anything. If you quit making your mortgage payments, then you go rent a house someplace. I don't think you're going to lose anything. Now, right away, you know, you're going to sit here and say, well, I don't know how I'd live if I didn't have my mortgage, if I didn't have my credit cards, if I didn't have my job. And I hear you. I hear you. I understand that. A practicing communist does not know how to live any other way than by practicing communism. And that's because it's the only thing you know. But I wanted to point out to you that you're not living better practicing communism today than you were 50 or 60 years ago. You're living worse today. And the future is going to get worse and worse because, you see, you can't make $40 an hour and then $80 an hour. Take a look at gasoline. Back in 1945, the price of gasoline was under 30 cents a gallon. I think it was around 27 cents. I know in 1937 it was 17 cents. And I think that by 19, because of wartime and rationing and so on, I think it was 27 cents a gallon. So today the price of gasoline is $3 a gallon. Now it's actually four, but I'm going to start at three here because last year it was three. So it went from about 30 cents to $3. That's about 10 times. All right. And your wages went up from $1.75 to $17.58. So they went up by about 10 times. So when you were paying $3 a gallon for gas, making $17 an hour versus making $1.75 an hour, that was about equal. You hadn't lost any ground there. But here's where you lost your ground. And you people now, remember I said you're unable to connect these dots. Listen to this. If the income tax in 1945 was 10%, and I'll just use 10%, you were paying 17.5 cents for tax, weren't you? Yeah, 175. But today, you're paying 17.58, then you're paying 10% of that, so you're paying $1.75. Paying $1.75 in tax. And that's because you got what's called, you know, the heavy progressive income tax. But it's worse than that. If you were paying $1.75 in tax compared to 17.5 cents in 1945, that'd be equal. If you were paying 30 cents back in 1945 for gasoline and $3 today, that would be equal. Okay, but here's where we all take it in the shorts. It's the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for a heavy progressive income tax. So they don't tax you 10%. They now tax you 25%. In fact, the tax goes up to 42%. And then if you vote for Barack Obama, the Democrats get into office, they promise to raise your taxes even higher. Bush raised your taxes. See, you thought Bush gave you a tax reduction? No. You misunderstand the alternative minimum tax. He cut taxes for the wealthy. They got a tax cut. All the rest of us over here got a tax increase through the alternative minimum tax. See, the cover story was tax reduction. This is what I tell you. Politicians lie to you all the time. All right, now, if you were paying 10% of the 17.58, that'd be fine, but it's not. You're paying 25%. So now you've got fewer dollars to go out and buy this ice cream with. First of all, your pay did not keep up with inflation, and secondly, the income tax comes along and whacks you by taking 25% instead of 10%. Now, that's true. You're making 10 times more money, but your purchasing power over here is one half what it was in 1945. One half. That's why your wives are all out here working in the marketplace, and both of you working your hearts out over here are barely able to make your payments. You know, it's time for us to start connecting these dots over here. The income tax is not our friend, it's our enemy. Social Security is not our friend, it's our enemy. Insurance is not our friend, it's our enemy. The highway patrolman is not our friend, he's our enemy. I'm just telling you, that's the way life is. So you're making friends with all your enemies over here, and they're eating your lunch, and you can't figure out why. Well, it's because you went to public school, and they taught you about all your friends in government, how you ought to vote. I told you that the other day. I said, hell, if voting was the solution to your problem, you wouldn't have any problem to start with, because you've all been out here voting all these years. If interest and usury was the solution to your problem, if refinancing your house was the solution to your problem, you wouldn't have any problem to start with. Interest and usury is your problem. That's why you're poor and losing your house. It's the penalty that you pay for the violation of the law that says thou shalt not steal. And your preacher didn't tell you that. He told you you were living under grace. But you got a license to go out here and commit these abominations. Well, okay, go out and do it. But if you do, there's going to be a penalty to pay. So when you're paying usury and interest, you're in violation of thou shalt not steal, and the penalty is poverty. That's all. I was trying another one. I was in a store the other day, and there's this old man saying, and I was putting some stuff in the shopping basket, and I had Tim and Jim saying, and this old man, he's shuffling along. I mean, hell, I don't know if he's older than I am. Just looking at the guy, I'm guessing, you know, he's 70 years old. That's what I am. I'm 70. And this guy has got, I mean, he just looks terrible. I mean, he can hardly walk. He's just barely able to get by. And I put a bunch of stuff in there, and he said, I see that's really smart buying on your part. So there's a bunch of artichoke hearts there, and so I like marinated artichoke hearts. So there's about 15 or 20 jars of it there, you know, and this is one of them salvage stores. And so I took these 17 jars and said, last week they had pickled pig's feet in here, and I bought them all. This guy can hardly walk, and he's eating pickled pig's feet. Now, see, he doesn't understand that pork is bad for his health, so. He probably went to public school and heard about all the riboflavin in pig meat, see? And so he said, boy, well, he's probably not short of any riboflavin, but boy, he's short of a lot of other something or others over there, because this guy can hardly function. And I don't have disabled on my car. Hell, I got to park out in the middle of the parking lot and walk in the store like everybody else. And I was in the Harps the other day, and there's this old guy in there. Old guy. He's working as a bagger. See, it used to be that the people that were bagging your groceries and taking them out to your car, they used to be teenagers. Not no more. Not Harps. Hell, they're all old people. And over at Walmart, you know, it's all those old retired people that can't live on Social Security. And so they're now greeting you at the door and bagging your groceries and taking them out. And this old guy, how old he was, but he looked like an old man to me. And he has good health. I mean, he's bagging stuff up. He says, do you need a handout with that? And I said, son, I don't need a handout with that. I said, I might be old, but I ain't crippled. Yeah, I'm an old man, but I ain't crippled. I want to take my own groceries up. I don't need some old man to do that. All right, now that's why I keep saying to you people, you know, it's time to wake up here and start smelling the coffee. We got problems over here. We can't recognize what the hell the problems are. And that's because you go to church every Sunday. And nobody ever told you about this other business model. The other business model is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is a business model where we don't stand in line and we all have a great abundance. If you want to have more milk than you know what to do with and more meat than you know what to do with, and you don't give a damn if the price of gas is $7 a gallon. I mean, I hate to see the price of gas go to $7 a gallon because, you know, I would like to buy gas for 30 cents a gallon too. But that ain't going to happen. And then the price of gas is going to $7. I just got those numbers the other day. Last time I reported to you, it was going to $6 a gallon. I got new numbers out here. They're expecting $200 a barrel oil here by the end of the year. $200 a barrel. Well, when oil was $100 a barrel, it was $3 a gallon. Now it's $150, and so now it's $450. And so now when it gets up to $200, and that's $6 gas, ain't it? All right. Now, my income then has to keep up with. Now, I'm going to avoid that word income. My increase has to be greater than the price rise in the gallon of gas. So I'm not going to make that as a greeter. I'm not going to make that on Social Security. And so, hell, I don't even draw Social Security. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I'm entitled to $800 or $900 or $1,000 a month in the Social Security. Hell, if I went down and signed up, I'm sure they'd send me a check. I wouldn't get out of bed for that kind of crap. I wouldn't do it. And I tell my students very plainly, when you walk into this school, that if you're making less than $100,000 a year, you're wasting your time. I don't give a damn if you're driving a truck for Walmart today. Son, if you're making less than $100,000 a year driving that truck, you're wasting your time. Now, if you want to drive truck, that's fine. Hell, I drove truck for years. I had a great time. I was never sorry being a plumber, carpenter, electrician, working the trades. I was never sorry that I was a truck driver, working for wages. I worked for International Harvester. I was a union member for years. God, I had a great time. Great time. No money, huh? No money. And then one day I woke up and I said, what the hell is all this all about anyway? And I said, I've been to public school. I've learned to be a cash cow for the bureaucracy. I'm working for the politicians. They sit in Washington, D.C., drawing big, fat, cushy paychecks, and they don't do any work. They do absolutely nothing. Stand around, talk a lot, pinch the girls on the ass at the water cooler. But they're not doing anything productive or competent. Nothing for me. I don't know about you, man. Hell, I can't speak for you, but didn't do anything for me. Now, I'm going to give you a reminder here, and I'm going to take you through a house. I'm going to take you through this house over here, because most of you people now are losing your heinies on your houses. And you're losing your heinies on your house because that house you bought was a criminal activity. I'm going to show you what the crime is. I'm going to show you what the law says. And I'm going to show you how to stop doing it. Now, you need a house. I don't deny it, but you need a house that's free and clear. I'll show you how to build a house in 36 months, free and clear and on it. 36 months. Write that down, Bob. Write it down. 36 months. I'll show you how to build a house in 36 months, all cash, yourself, and own it free and clear. You people are buying these houses, and you're paying for 30 years. You're buying one house for yourself and two for the bankers, and you ain't even going to last 30 years. You're all going broke. All going broke. So hang on here while I give you my mid-course reminder here so we can take care of the FCC and all these government bureaucrats. And remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in 112 countries daily over the internet and radio worldwide. Now, if you want more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. And then we do it from a scriptural perspective. That's eight schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the law hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. And all of these law hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the law hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. That's the place to start. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we give out don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and then their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour, an editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, where you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're back now to doing business. Now, there's a big difference between private business and public business, and so when we go to public school, the first plank to the Communist tenth plank to the Communist Manifesto tells us what the purpose for this free education in public school is all about, which is anything but free, by the way. But then, leaving that question aside, it's to teach and train you to be a productive employee, to plug you in to the military-industrial complex, to plug you in to the governmental taxation system. It's to turn you lawyers and doctors and professionals into cash cows so that you can pay tens of thousands of dollars a year that you collect from your clients and turn that over to the government, you know, to run the government. Well, that's all well and good, and if that's what you want to do, well, and get after it. But, you know, down here on the bottom line, what we all want to do is to keep more and more of what we work for and create and produce so we can spend it on ourselves, and that's just selfishness. Selfishness. And that's what I am. I'm just totally selfish, and I want to keep all that I make and all that I create and produce, and I want to spend it on myself. I don't want to spend it on you. I don't give a damn about you. I don't care about me. I'm selfish. I don't deny it. So if you're anything like I am, you're probably just about as selfish as I am. Now, of course, Mr. Rogers and Barney and Sesame Street and Big Bird and Ernie and Bert and all those guys, they told you, oh, no, you want to share your toys. Hell, I don't want to share my toys. Go get your own, just like I did. And so we get caught up in the system. We go to the public school and learn how to share our toys. We learn how to be communists, and then we end up being poor, and then our houses are being taken away from us. And a lot of us want to know, well, what happened? Now, the first thing that I hear about home ownership, where would I live if I don't buy a house? Where would I live if I didn't buy a house? So let's just try building our own house. A $50,000 house costs $25,000 to build. I'm a general contractor. So when I build a house and I sell it for $50,000, it costs me $25,000 to build it. Now, when you buy with an 8.5% fixed rate mortgage for 30 years, you buy one house for you and two houses for the banker at the same time. Now, I hope you build your own house for $25,000. That's one house for you and five more for you. No matter how much money you make, you spend it all. And the man that makes $100,000 a year spends it all. The same as the man that makes $50,000 a year, he spends it all. The man that makes $25,000 a year spends it all. The man that makes $12,500 a year spends it all. If you learn to save half, cut your living standard by 50%. If you're making $20 and $20 an hour, you live as if you were making $10. If you make $50, live like you did when you made $25. Stop paying income tax, stop paying insurance, stop paying interest. You practice strict liability, no usury, tithe. Pay your tithe to God. And in less than 3 years, you'll have the cash to build your own home. In 6 years, you'll have enough money to pay retail and have your house built for you. So at the end of 3 or at the end of 6 years, you'll own your own home free and clear. Then the next 24 years will be a profit to you instead of a loss. Instead of making that house payment for the next 24 years to the banker to buy two houses for the banker, you're going to buy one house for you. And you're going to own it free and clear, and then you're going to keep making those payments, putting it into your own savings, and then you're just going to keep building houses. I told you about this Henry Moore, didn't I? And this Henry Moore did just exactly that. He graduated from high school. He was 2 years behind. He wasn't the swiftest marble in the drawer, the sharpest marble in the drawer. And he built seven houses, one for himself and six more. Went to my 50th class reunion. Here's Henry Moore. He's got six houses rented out. I don't know what the rents were. I didn't ask him, but my guess is probably making, you know, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000 a month rent. I'll bet you that Henry Moore doesn't give a damn if gasoline is $5 a gallon or they're $7 a gallon. What does he care? Making $6,000 a month off the rental units. He can afford to buy gas. You know, it's the guy that don't have the $6 a gallon. See, when the price of gas went from 30 cents to 60 cents, okay. Went from 60 cents to $1.20, okay. Went from $1.20 to $2.40, okay. So now it went from $2.40 to $4.80. That's okay, too. As long as your income keeps up with it, what do you care? It's when your income don't keep up. That's when you care. Now, listen, you people are out here buying these houses and flipping them and just making all this profit, you know. There's no money for you people who buy these houses long-term. Now, there is money for the guy that buys it for $50,000, pays $25,000, fixes it up, and then sells it for $125,000 in about 90 days. There's money for him to be making. That guy's making money. When you buy a house and then you live in that house, now you're working for Greyhound and you're a bus driver or you're working for some outfit and you're making wages over here, and you buy a house and you make your payments for 30 years, you're losing money. You're losing your hiney, and you don't understand that because nobody ever taught you how to count. So now pay attention. I'm going to show you how to count. Now, if you want to learn how to make money, I got a business school over here from a high school dropout. I'll show you how to make money. I don't know anything about business administration. I can't help you there. I can't help you with buying stocks and bonds and how to sharp people out of their money. I don't know how to do that. I know how to practice the Ten Commandments. I know how to build a house in 36 months and own it. But I don't know how to get an ABS loan from the bank or how to refinance that mortgage and save two basis points or something like that. Now, that you're just wasting your time on. You need to go to the university for that. If you want to learn how to make money now, you can't beat the Gordon Law School. We got this thing down pat. Now, if you're opposed to the Ten Commandments, you don't want to come to this school. I mean, if you're a hardcore, dedicated communist, stay the hell away from here. You're not going to learn anything here. Wasting your time, wasting your money, and me too. It's like trying to teach a pig to sing. Waste your time and annoys the pig. So let's take a house over here. Get a clean piece of paper. And get a clean piece of paper out here, kids. I'm going to run you through this scenario over and see if I can show you how over the air. A little harder to do here. I like to do it on the board up behind me here so that I can show you how this comes out. But just listen to this. Let's say you're going to buy a house in 1955. Purchasing price is $50,000. Write down $50,000. Purchase price. The year is 1955. That's number two. Purchase price number one, $50,000. Number two, year's 1955. Interest rate, 6%. And would you buy a house for 6% interest? Down payment, $5,000, 10% down. Just a very conventional deal, 10% down. Monthly payments, $300 a month. And I'm rounding these off. It's actually 297. There's odd numbers in here, but just round it off. It's close enough. Monthly payments, number four. Or number five. Number four was down payments, $5,000. Number five, monthly payments, $300 a month. All right. Now, the total interest on this transaction for 30 years, you're going to finance this house now for 30 years. Total interest paid $62,100. Now, that's a 6%. At 8.5%, you're going to pay double that. See, when the interest rate goes up 1 or 2 percentage points, it doubles the total amount of cash out of pocket. It's called the miracle of compounding. The miracle of compounding. And when they didn't teach you how compound interest works in public school, they did you a great disservice. That's why you're unable to make your payments today. You were unable to calculate how much this house was going to cost you. So you listened to the salesman, and he lied to you. I'm watching this on TV at night. You know, the reporter, he's asking this person, you know, why it is that they got into trouble. Well, they told me at the bank. Well, the real estate man said. I mean, these poor people have been listening to Mr. Rogers for so long that they thought everybody tells the truth. I mean, these people are so damn naive, they believe that the salesman's telling them the truth, that the salesman is their friend, that the policeman's their friend, that the IRS agent is their friend. Honest to God, they believe that. And then they get raped, robbed, and pillaged, and they're just standing there with shocked indignation. Oh, I just can't believe that Mr. Rogers lied to me. Hell, that's a stock and trade. He's a lying deceiver. That's what the Bible tells you about Satan. He's a lying deceiver. boys and girls, a fraud has to look like the original. Counterfeit has to look as good as the original, maybe a little better then. Otherwise, how would you pass it off? You can't pass Monopoly money off because it's obviously no good. Doesn't even look good. But, you know, if you got a good $100 bill, you know, it's got to look as good as the original. The amount that you're financing is $45,000. That's number seven. Total interest, number six. Total interest, $62,100. The amount financed, $45,000. So you're going to finance $45,000. You're going to pay $62,000 interest. All right, now the principal payments per month are $125 a month. That's what's going to reduce the debt. And your average monthly payments are $297 a month. And so you're paying $175 in interest and $125 in principal. Number 10, taxes per month are $50. Number 11, your upkeep per month is $50. Number 12, your insurance per month is $50. So your taxes, upkeep, and insurance, $50 each. Brokerage fee, $15,000. Excuse me. Brokerage fee. 5% of $50,000, $2,500. Points, mortgage, insurance, title search, and closing costs, $5,000. Total cost for 30 years, $186,100. Oh, excuse me, I had that wrong. Back up. Brokerage. Number 13, brokerage, $15,000. I was right the first time, $15,000. Because we're going to sell this house after 30 years, and the brokerage gets paid going in, going out. So for 30 years, your total cost is $186,100. Now, wait a minute. You're walking into the real estate store, say, and you're going to buy this house. And then the guy says, well, jump in the car, and he takes you out, and he shows you this house. He asks you what your price range is, and you say, I'm looking for about a $50,000 house. He shows you four or five houses. Pretty soon, you and Maggie select a house, and you agree to pay $5,000 cash down. You've been saving your money. And you got your piggy bank there. And so you're going to finance $45,000, 6% interest, going to do it for 30 years. And so from 55 to 85, you make all your payments. Then you turn around, you sell your house in 1985. Well, how much money would you expect to make after 30 years? And the answer is five times. So you sell your house for $250,000. Now, you know, you bought it for $50, sold it for $250. Oh, God, I made a $200,000 profit. So that's the way you people think. I made a $200,000 profit. No, you didn't. Uh-uh. No, sir. You had a $90,000 loss on that business transaction. And you people are out here buying these houses called the American Dream. Here in America, for all the rest of you people out there in Radio Land around the world, the American Dream is to go to college, get a degree so we don't have to work, so that we can work at Lockheed, standing around the water cooler, pinching the girls on the ass, making $100 an hour, and buy a house in the suburbs so that we can commute an hour to work and an hour home at night. This is the American dream. We want to own a house in the suburbs. We don't want to work. We want to live in air-conditioned luxury. All right, now let's understand something here. You believe, you've been taught, you heard Mr. Rogers, you heard your teacher in school say, and you've heard everybody tell you that you want to buy and own your own home. Home ownership. It's the American dream. It's the way to go. It's the way to make money. You lost $90,000 in the transaction. Now, if you sold this house in 1985, number 15, for $250,000, number 16, less the cost of goods sold, which was $186,100, your gross profit for 30 years is $63,900. Now, I know you're saying, wait a minute, how could I lose $90,000? Not a $63,000 gross profit, even after you took off the $186,000. Listen up now, boys and girls. Now, your total income per year on this business transaction is $2,130 a year. Your capital gain tax is $17,892. So your adjusted net profit is $46,008. Well, you sit there and say, well, see, that's not a loss of $90,000. That's a profit of $46,000. No, right? No. Remember the ice cream cone story I told you? $19.45, $1.75 an hour? And I can get 17 and a half ice cream cones with an hour's work. 2008, I'm getting $17.58 an hour, 10 times more money, but I can only buy 7 ice cream cones, $2.35 for 2 scoops. I get half as much ice cream for the same amount of work. And that's why you're going broke. See, you people are practicing those 10 planks over there. You're practicing usury and interest, which is a crime. And this usury and interest over here has what we call the miracle of compounding, and it's eating your lunch. It looks like you got more. I got $17.58 an hour. That's a whole lot more than $1.75. Yeah, that's right, Bob. 10 times more, but it buys half as much. Can you follow that, Bob? And that's because of inflation, Bob. Can you follow that? How come you got inflation, Bob? Because you're paying usury and interest. That's the Ten Commandment model now. Don't pay usury and interest. So before we were getting off on all this usury and interest over here, we didn't have inflation. Now, from 1865 to 1900, I call this the golden age of America, we had 2% deflation, built more railroads, built more infrastructure, built more steel mills, made more money than in any other 35-year period in our history. Did it all with gold and silver coin, without a Federal Reserve Bank, without an income tax. Now, if income tax and Federal Reserve Banks are the source and the engine of your wealth, then how come you don't have more wealth, Bob? The engine of our wealth was just weights and balances. Thou shalt not steal. The engine of our wealth was the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Planks. All right, now listen to this. Remember that down payment we made, $5,000 down? All right. How many 1955 Chevrolet automobiles could you buy with $5,000 back in 1955? Now rack your brains, all you Mr. Rogers fans. The answer is two brand new 1955 Chevrolet automobiles. They were $2,500 each. $2,500 would buy you a brand new 1955 Chevrolet Bel Air. All right, now, you could have bought two cars with that down payment. Let's try this one. How many 1956 Oldsmobiles could you buy for the $300 a month payments? Because remember, in 1956, you paid $300 a month for 12 months. That was $3,600. $3,600. Hell, that's almost as much as the down payment, $5,000. Not quite, but it's getting up there, $3,600, $1,400 short of your down payment. All right, the answer is you could have bought one 1956 Oldsmobile or one 1956 Buick or one 1956 Mercury automobile, a little better than a Chevrolet or a Ford. Oh, you could have been driving a Merc. You could have been driving an Olds. You could have been driving a Buick for 1956 for the amount of money that you were making in payments. So where's the break-even point on this house transaction? And the answer is 1959. That's the break-even point. Because you see, the amount of money that you were making at Mutual Plywood, remember $12,000 a year, which was a god-awful good job, $12,000 a year in 1955. And, you know, the amount of tax that you were paying was very minimal back in the 50s, didn't pay much in weight in income tax. Well, not at the low end, you know. At the high end, you paid 91%, but the low end, you paid very much. So you were just living the life of Riley. Everything was going great. Nobody was outsourcing your job. You were making buku bucks. Yeah, there was inflation, but hell, you know, your wages were growing faster than inflation. And that's because geometric progression hadn't caught up with you yet. Caught up with us now. And hadn't caught up with us then. So we bought into this 10 planks program. God, this was a wonderful deal. This communism, hey, this really pays off. This 10 commandments crap, boy, I'm glad we got rid of that. And so time went on. But the break-even point was with the two automobiles in 1955 down payment. And then the $3,500 a year that you're spending on automobiles. Now, the cost of a 1985 Chevrolet was $11,500. See, it went up from $2,500 in 1955 to $11,500. So if you take your annual payments for the years, $3,564 times 26 years, your net loss over 30 years amounts to $92,664 in purchasing power. Remember that 10-cent ice cream cone versus the $17 that you're making today and the 8 ice cream cones? That's what happened to you with the automobiles. If you'd have taken your money at $12,000 a year and bought cars with it, you could have bought a brand new car every year for the amount of money you were making on house payments. And the break-even point on your house transaction over here was in 1959. 4 years after you bought that house is where you hit the break-even point. From that point on, every dollar you spent on that house was a loser. And all of you people making your mortgage payments, every single month you make that mortgage payment, it's money down a rat hole. Every single month, you're losing money. You're losing that whole payment. You're just pissing your money away, as my old dad used to say. Pissing it away. And that's because you went to public school and you weren't able to have mental, didn't learn how to count. Now, let me run you through this one. If you'd have bought silver in the same year, instead of that $50,000 house, if you'd have bought $50,000 worth of silver from 55 to 85, who's going to come out better? Well, we saw the $90,000 plus loss that comes from buying a house on a 30-year contract. Now, let's look at 30 years in silver. 1955, $5,000 paid for a house payment. Instead, we'll buy $5,000 silver dollars. 55 to 67 in 13 years of payments at $297 a month times 12 times 13 is $46,332. The next 17 years is interest. Hey, listen, the break-even point on your house with just making the payments was 13 years. Then you work an extra 17 years just to pay the interest on that house. That's $62,000, remember? Buying one for you and one for the banker, and that's a 6%. Now when your mortgage payment hits 8.5%, you're buying one for you and two for the banker. Now my profit was $45,000, which equals four cars. My brother's profit was $500,000 less $50,000 equals $450,000 profit, less 28% capital gain, or $126,000. His net was $324,000 divided by $11,000 per year equals 30 cars. My brother, buying silver, maintained his purchasing power for the whole 30 years. You lost $90,000 in purchasing power, partner, and that's what you get for buying a house and paying interest and usury on it. I tell you, boys and girls, Americans, and I suspect you Canadians and Australians are unable to connect the dots because you've been handicapped at public school. And the public school system has carried out its role perfectly. They have dumbed you down till you can't count. Like the Navajo truck driver I told you about last time came into class and he said, how long do I have to make these payments before the debt's paid? Hell, the debt's growing at the rate of $30,000 a year. Remember, it went from 330 to 345, that was 15,000. Then it went from 345 to 360, and that grew another 15,000. So at the end of 2 years, he's $30,000 in debt. So every 2 years, he's adding 30,000 to his debt. He's not reducing his debt at all. His debt's going up. That's where you're at with these houses. That's where you're at with the usury and interest. That's where the entire American, Canadian, Australian, and all you Western Europeans, you're in the same boat. I mean, you're not as desperate as we Americans are, but you're following right behind us. You'll be right behind us. And when the American economy collapses over here, you Australians over there are going to be standing in the poverty lunch like everybody else. Now, next time, I'm going to show you another little trick to the story. Good news. The good news is we don't need to stand in line to share the shortage or stand in line and take food stamps. I mentioned this to you earlier. You know, I'm an old man. I can qualify for Social Security. I think it's $1,000. Let's say it's $1,200 a month. Now, I give you a little cost of living escalator. Last time I looked, it was $805. When I turned 65, I could get $805 a month. Hell, I wouldn't go down and sign up for $800 a month. And I told you, I said, if you're making less than $100,000 a year, you're wasting your time. Let's grow up and get real. Get off Mr. Rogers over here. Let's get off this communist crap. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and start making money. We Americans, Canadians, and Australians had great wealth. We used to make money. Then we got off onto communism. Communism's great for bankers, preachers, and politicians. They make buku bucks off of us, teaching us communism and collecting on it. I don't deny it. Communism is a great moneymaker for bankers, politicians, and preachers. But it doesn't do anything for us. It impoverishes us. It puts us to work in their service. If you want to be their servants, stick with the program. You are well on your way to great success. Now, if you're getting tired of this crap and you're sitting there saying, hey, I want to make a change, then let's make a real meaningful change. Right, call for our free General Law CD package. Let me tell you more about how to break this chain around your neck, this yoke of iron. Hey, I'm out of time again, kids. We've got to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries daily over the internet and radio worldwide. Now, for more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing. Of course, until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.